Several hours of great listening coming up here. I promise you that. Here on the Head On Radio Network, you're listening to the Guy James Show. You've heard from the...
This is the Quality News Network. Four armed Islamic militants stormed the U.S. Embassy in Damascus today. Three were killed by Syrian security forces before they could reach the embassy walls. A Syrian anti-terrorist died. 11 other people were wounded. A wounded fourth attacker was taken into custody. Nine states are holding primaries today in Rhode Island. Lincoln Chafee, the only Republican senator to vote against the Iraq War, is facing a tough challenge for renomination. Other states voting today include Arizona, Delaware, Maryland, Minnesota, New Hampshire, New York, Vermont, and Wisconsin. Iran is offering to help Iraq improve its security and stability. The offer is the result of talks today between Iraq's prime minister and Iran's president. The two meet again tomorrow. NATO's secretary general is asking the 26 member nations for 2,500 additional troops for the Afghanistan campaign. Currently, there are 18,500 coalition troops there. The most fierce fighting is located in southern Afghanistan. The UN drug and crime chief is urging NATO to take military action against southern Afghanistan's opium trade. The opium harvest there is one of the highest ever seen, up 50% over last year. In Gaza, Palestinian officials say a new coalition government should be in place within 2 weeks. Plans to create a national unity government were announced yesterday. In Yemen, more than 42 people were killed and dozens injured today. There was a stampede at a stadium where a pre-election rally was being held for Yemen's president. In South Korea, the government will level part of a village to make way for a U.S. military base. The site, about 40 miles south of Seoul, will become America's new military headquarters. Officials removed some protesters in May, but more than 200 residents remain. In Australia, conservation groups are concerned over the killings of stingrays on the country's east coast since TV star Steve Irwin was killed by one last week. Environmentalists think the creature's deaths were revenge killings of the usually docile fish. At a world-famous fashion show in Spain, models considered unhealthily skinny have been banned from the runway. Madrid organizers say young women develop eating disorders trying to copy anorexic-looking fashion models. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Business news is next. It's 2.5 minutes past the hour.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
The U.S. trade deficit hit a record $68 billion in July, largely due to higher oil prices. BP said today it will ask the U.S. Transportation Department for approval to reopen part of its Alaska pipeline. The line must pass safety tests first. Bristol-Myers Squibb CEO Peter Dolan has been fired following recommendations by a federal monitor and federal investigation into the company's efforts to block a Canadian company from producing generic versions of Plavix. Harvard will drop its early admissions program starting next year because the program favors wealthier students over minorities and the poor. Harvard is also urging other universities to follow its example. Canon is recalling 1.8 million personal copiers because of a risk that some may catch fire. The CEO of auto retailer AutoNation.com says the U.S. should impose higher taxes on gasoline to prompt development of more fuel-efficient automobiles. He says that, in turn, would make hybrids, diesel, and ethanol cars more affordable for consumers. Light sweet crude traded at $63.80 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange today. Gold was $596 an ounce. Near the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones was up 107 points. The NASDAQ was up 43. The S&P 500 was up 13. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Roll up your sleeves and put on your gloves, because the work is just beginning.
Monday warrior, me strike. Today's Tom Sawyer, me cry.
It's time to turn the conversation to taking back America. From the crusaders who have drained our treasury, created needless wars, and expect the working people to pay for their billionaires' games, it's time for the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Brought to you by the West Virginia Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They are building the American dream each and every day. You can get in on the program by dialing in to 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And now, your host, Bruce Birch.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Bruce Birch Radio Program here live again this afternoon. I'd like to got a special announcement that I want to make bring this to your attention because it's already out there. We are now being simulcast live on radiopower.org. So thank you, Shelby LePre. That's fantastic. We are very excited about building this collaborative relationship and I'm very happy that we are actually running live there now. I guess it's kind of interesting because I started on Radio Power just a couple weeks ago in the 8 to 10 o'clock hour. And now I'm on at 5 to 7 when the show runs live. So fantastic. That's fantastic and wonderful. Thank you so much, Shelby, for everything that you do over at Radio Power. And welcome to all the Radio Power live listeners. If you want to get in on the show today, that's right, it's 5 o'clock Eastern, 2 o'clock Pacific. So if if you're looking at your clock, that's actually the right time. You can get in on the show live today if you so desire by dialing 1-877-443-2366. Also, if you prefer email, you can email me, bruce@brucebirch.com, and that's B-U-R-C-H, bruce@brucebirch.com. We also have a neat little chat room over at the headonradionetwork.com website. You can go there and click on the chat room link, and it'll shoot you into a little registration area where you can fill that out, and then you go right into the chat room. And there's some wonderful folks in there hanging out, having a good time this afternoon. Guy James, I know, put on a smashing show before me here in the 3 to 5 hour, which I believe was also carried live at Radio Power. I could be wrong with that, but on the schedule there at RadioPower.org, it has basically live programming from the Head On Radio Network from 9 p.m. So welcome to all of you new listeners. Glad that you're aboard. Happy to have you with us this afternoon. I've got a lot of little stories I want to cover today. Some of them are little, some of them are not so little. But, the biggest thing in the news today is, in my mind, is this story that I'm going to read to you. We're going to hand you very quickly. And that is that apparently the Iranians... Iran President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has met with Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki in Tehran today. They met. So it's interesting to see what's happening there. I'm sure this was probably, I mean, who knows what Bunny Pants, the stupid guy there in the White House. If you don't know the story about the stupid guy, I'll tell it one more time, and then if you want to know, you'll have to listen to the archive. But the stupid guy, we were in Washington, Bob Kincaid and myself and our good friend of ours, Wayne, was we were in Washington, D.C. last Thursday and Friday. And Friday we broadcast live from Camp Democracy. And if you want to know more about that, please go to campdemocracy.org. But we left the broadcast there. We packed everything up, and we, you know, went out to the street to hail a cab to go back to our hotel because, you know, it was far enough away that we didn't want to lug everything with us, you know, walking. So, you know, we went out to the street. We got caught a ride with the first cab that stopped, you know, and loaded up everything to the trunk. And he says, "What are you guys doing down here with all that stuff?" And he told him we were broadcasters. And he said, "Oh," he says, "What do you talk about?" And I pointed over toward the White House. And he said, "Oh, the stupid guy." Oh, the stupid guy. So in honor of the D.C. union cab drivers, we will, from here on out, refer to him as the stupid guy. So, yeah, going back to this, back to the story. Iran's president, who is presently hosting a visit from Iraq's prime minister, and is expressing support for his country's beleaguered, war-torn neighbor, says the Islamic Republic supports a united Iraq and will help the nation establish full security. This is a big deal, folks. This is a nation, these are two nations that have been at odds with each other for a very, very, very long time. So it's very interesting to see this development. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad spoke at a news conference with Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki after private talks were held on Tuesday, on today. Apparently the state-run Islamic Republic news agency, the IRNA, reported it is al-Maliki's first visit to Iran since he became prime minister earlier this year. Ahmadinejad was quoted as saying, "Iran will provide assistance to the Iraqi government to establish full security. We believe strengthening the Iraqi government is tantamount to promoting security, peace, and friendship in that country." Yeah, that's the same guy. That's the same guy, that guy who's now talking about security, peace, and friendship. That's the same guy that the stupid guy calls a madman. This is the same one that the stupid guy calls a madman. Yes, that's right. The United States, now the chief ally and backer and puppet master of the Iraqi government, has been a longtime adversary of Iran on many issues, including Iran's nuclear ambitions. Last week, six Iraqi border guards were detained by Iranian border guards in a dispute. You know, there's little stuff going on, little skirmishes going on. But the big deal is that the two chiefs of those two countries have met, and they are establishing diplomatic relations, and that is a pretty big deal. Ahmadinejad also boosted the idea of a united and independent Iraq that will be beneficial to security and progress of the entire region. He pointed out that both countries have close ties in both cultural and religious areas, and they have reached agreement in trade, transportation, and energy. He is quoted again as saying, "The Islamic Republic of Iran and Iraq." Ooh. "The Islamic Republic of Iran and Iraq," very interesting way he put that, "enjoy deep-rooted historical relations beyond normal ties between the two neighboring states." He went on and said, "We regard progress, independence, and territory of Iraq as our own." And he added, quote, "We completely support the Iraqi government and parliament and will transfer our experience to our Iraqi friends in all fields, including reconstruction of the country and economic cooperation." Why is this a big deal? Well, let me just tell you real quick before we go to our break. To me, why this is a big deal is because Iran has been the pariah Ahmadinejad is sort of in the same category as Hugo Chavez and Fidel Castro and, you know, all of that guy in North Korea. Now, he is a wacko, that guy, Kim Jong-il. But you know, these four world leaders have been treated as pariahs by the Washington government, and primarily because you know, they have pursued their own aims independent of the United States. That for instance, in Venezuela, Chavez has you know, completely is not interested so much in U.S. aid, because see, the thing is that in the world, if we gave aid to different countries and we said, here you go, here's some aid to help you with whatever it is that you're doing, that would be fine. But we don't do that. What we do is we give them money and then we say, up, 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 up. We'll give you the money, but you got to be our pawn. You got to do what we tell you to do in these areas. You have to understand that the American way of life is the chief way of life on the planet, and what we say goes, blah, 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 et al. Ad nauseum. So it's interesting to see that these two countries, the one country that we have, well, you know, we bombed it back to the Stone Age, and then now we're trying to install a puppet government, has established diplomatic ties with another government that we have found to be, oh, so evil. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how all that develops. Listen, you're listening to the Bruce Birch Radio program being simulcast in high-definition stereo on the Head-On Radio Network and RadioPower.org. If you want to get in on the show today, you can dial 1-877-443-2366. You can also email me, bruce@brucebirch.com. I'll be right back.
To start to mold a new reality closer to the heart, closer to the heart. Blacksmith and the artist reflected in their art, they forge their creativity closer to the heart.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
This is the story about a group of kids who volunteered.
We fix stuff. Did some art projects with the kids.
Clean up the park.
We worked in the woods.
I just wanted to do something.
We fixed up this house.
Did something for the planet.
Hey, that was all I needed. And you know what? It was great.
It was a blast.
At first, they didn't know each other.
I didn't know anyone.
Well, that didn't last long.
This guy is really funny.
Me?
These are my new friends. These are really good new friends.
Are you into it?
Are You Into It is a volunteer program for kids like you who care. If you want to make a difference in your community and make friends, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH or check out our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
This definitely made a difference.
I feel like I can do everything now.
Yeah!
Yeah.
A
public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
Right, you're back on the Bruce Birch radio program. It's about 21 minutes past the hour here, and where I'm sitting in the eastern United States, it's been a very cool day today. It's been the high today was probably 66 degrees for mid-September here where I live in Greensboro, North Carolina. That is a very, very cool temperature for this time of the year. Usually, we're kicking into Indian summer, which means, for those of you who don't know what an Indian summer is, I'm sure you probably do, but here in the south, southeast, we tend to have a spate of cold weather. Well, maybe this is it then. A spate of colder weather, I should say, and then it kicks back into, you know, maybe a few days of 95 to 100 degree temperatures before the fall finally arrives in early October. Let's go ahead straight over to our phone lines. We've got, if you want to get in on the show today, it's 1-877-443-2366. Jim is joining us on line one. Jim, how are you today?
Fine. It's your favorite waste of time. How are you today, Bruce?
I'm doing okay. I've got a bit of a tickle in my throat, but I'll be all right.
Okay. Well, on a strength, it'll do you nicely. You know, pursuant to what you were just talking about, Iran and Iraq, both being pariahs, let's face it, in history back in the 1920s after World War One and the Treaty of Versailles, guess which two nations got together at the Treaty of Rapallo because they were both considered pariahs by the rest of the world? Defeated Germany and the newly established Bolshevik regime in Russia. And the Germans were allowed to train their tank troops and their airplane pilots on Russian soil. So it's just amazing how war and politics do make strange bedfellows, isn't it?
It certainly is. I find it very interesting, though, Jim, that with Iraq being obviously sort of the puppet government that it is of what we've installed there, that there's such a large public meeting between al-Maliki and Ahmadinejad.
Well, basically, what you have in Iraq is a power vacuum. And that's mm-hmm. going to be sucked right into Iran. And it would not surprise me to see those two nations join together. I mean, you know, if not at the hip, at least in some way, you know.
Well,
because
it's
in their best interest to do so. If I were an Iraqi or if I were Mr. Ahmadinejad, I would certainly want to have Iraq, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and now that you mention it, my brain is clicking. It seems to make sense also because I'll bet you al-Maliki is becoming concerned that we're going to That we may pull out of there like we pulled out of Vietnam and is probably already developing a relationship to turn to Tehran for security reasons.
Well, and he knows we've got the 2006 congressional elections coming up, and George Bush can't be there forever. And he's going to have to, you know, he's going to have to make contingency plans, or, you know, it's going to be curtains for him. And so I think...
Curtains, I say.
Exactly. And I think it's time... I think I would be, getting some type of alternative strategy in the planning stage, if not in the operational stage.
Yeah, I think it's. I found this article to be very interesting. I didn't. Where did I find it? Yeah, this is on CNN. So basically, this was out of the CNN.com world section. But, you know, so I think, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how all this shakes out, especially given the fact that we, or at least our government, our leaders, view Ahmadinejad as being, you know, the devil with the red dress on.
Well, you know, people can demonize this man all they want to, but he is not stupid. He is a highly intelligent man. Now, he says some pretty bombastic things to our ears, which are music to the ears of his followers. And that's basically the success that he, that has engineered his success there. And I accept him for everything he says. I believe what he says he's going to do. I really do. And I think he's a force to be reckoned with, but he's a man that I would walk very carefully around if I were in any position of responsibility. And I would not discount him or call him crazy or anything like that. Not at all. He's probably smarter than what we've got in the White House, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, the stupid guy.
If the truth be known, as far as IQ and the ability to communicate and to govern. And there's one other thing I wanted to mention, if I may. And
sure.
This has to do with the program that was on TV the last two nights. You know,
yes.
I can't see what the big to-do about it was, because I thought it was pretty innocuous. I mean, it was, there were contrived dramatizations. You had flashbacks that made it difficult to follow unless you really knew what was going on. And you had time compressions that attributed to that. But it was just as critical of the Bush administration as it was of the Clinton. As a matter of fact, it pointed out right then and there, and when they were dealing with the leader of the Northern Alliance, who was assassinated on 10 September, that he had begged them to give them that $43 million that we gave to UBL.
Well, you know, they claimed they had
flattered against the Democrats, really. It was just as critical of Bush as it was the Democrats, if not more so.
I think that, well, there was one part of it that I saw that seemed to be very, very critical of Clinton. And there were
probably,
there were just some outright
deserved.
There were some outright lies in there though too, Jim.
Well,
outright whole manufactured lies, like that Bill Clinton wasn't interested in getting Osama. I mean,
he was firing all types of cruise missiles and things like that in there, and you know he was. I'm not exactly sure about. I mean, he didn't commit troops. No, he didn't invade Afghanistan, and he didn't go actively seeking it the way we did after 9/11.
Right.
But, I mean, he did try to respond with military, you know, it pointed out to his military responses. And, you know, the trouble is we happened to blow up a couple of things we shouldn't have blown up, I guess. But that's all true, though, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Well, the one thing that they tried to dramatize was that when given the opportunity, Clinton chose not to go after Saddam, even though he had a written order in effect that basically said, or excuse me, not Saddam, Osama. See how easy it is to interchange those two now? That was my brain. It was a brain fart.
Watch out.
But he had signed an order basically saying that if they ever saw him anywhere for any reason to shoot him on sight, that it was not there was no calling Washington to find out whether they should go after Bin Laden. It was already an established order that was said, if you see him, get him, period.
Now, who gave that order? Bill Clinton? Well, anyway, that was standing. I thought it was fairly interesting, and it was, like I say, it pointed just as many fingers toward the current administration as it is the previous one. I thought so. Mm-hmm. You know, in all fairness, and I can't see what the big to-do is about. And I don't think that many people watched it anyway, do you?
No, actually, the ratings on it were way low. I don't know what the ratings were last night, but Sunday night it had less than half of the ratings of the football game that played that night.
No, I think it had a pretty low market share, so I don't think it was any harm done by it. So, I mean, it was just something that I found interesting, and it did make it, you know, it's a pity that what happened to the Massoud, was that his name, the leader of the Northern Alliance?
Mm-hmm.
Because he's really the only one who could have really gotten this UBL, because he really knew who he was. And, you know, it pointed out how Usama had taken credit for things that he had done in their war against the Soviets. And actually, this guy was really portrayed as being a rather heroic figure, which I guess he was.
Yeah, and you know, well, and I didn't watch the entire movie myself, Jim, because I watched part of it on Sunday night, and then last night I just said I'm not gonna grace their presence, or them with my presence, I should say.
Well, it wasn't anything that you would have found offensive, and I found it, you know, fairly entertaining. Like I say, there were disclaimers about the dramatization and the time compression and the liberties taken, but nonetheless, it wasn't anything that was of, you know, and the script certainly wasn't written by Sidney Howard or William Cameron Menzies. That's for doggone sure, but that's okay. But I mean, it was just a flash in the pan. Another Kahotek that has splashed across the sky, and people have forgotten about it now.
Yeah.
But well, I take with interest you're pointing out the impending mariage between Iraq and Iran, and
yes.
You know, it's not the first time that nations that have been adversarial have decided to tie the knot and be friends. I mean, look what happened later on between Russia and Germany on August 23rd, 1939, when Hitler and Stalin signed the Non-Aggression Pact.
Yep.
You know, even though it was a minor convenience, it certainly had a lot of impact on what happened in the world on September 1st of 1939, when Hitler went to war.
Yeah. Well, Jim, I've got to get to a break here, my friend, but I do appreciate your call.
Done. Out here.
All right. Thank you, sir. Have a good day. And that's our friend Jim from an undisclosed location somewhere in the Northern Hemisphere. You're listening to the Bruce Birch Radio Program, being brought to you on the Head On Radio Network and also streaming on radiopower.org. We'll be right back after this break. If you want to get in on the show, 1-877-443-2366. I'll be right back.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Guy James Means, straight talk, and great guests like author and reporter Greg Palast.
Do we have Greg on the phone?
Yes, we do.
All right, very good, Greg.
Greg talked about his new book, Armed Madhouse.
You'll see in the second chapter of the book about Big Oil that I was able to get the inside documents from inside the State Department for the plans for the oil fields of Iraq, which is, you know, what it, you know, it's about the oil. And you actually, you know, if you thought they had a secret plan, I go and get it.
Greg Palast, thank you so much.
Don't miss Guy James weekday afternoons, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Hi. LOL. Well, AISI, it was NBD.
Kids are spending more and more time online, and even if you heard what they're typing, you probably wouldn't know what they're saying.
Some PPL, whatever. ISS.
They chat online in a language full of acronyms, and unless you use it every day, you won't understand it.
YIWGP.
You won't know what they're saying, or who they're saying it to. A lot of times, neither do they. Last year, 1 in 5 children was sexually solicited online. So here's an acronym for you. HDOP. Help Delete Online Predators. To protect your kids' online life and to get a full list of acronyms kids are using, call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
You're back on the Bruce Birch radio program. It's about 37 minutes past the hour. Let's take a look and see what we got here. Okay, let's do this. I have a couple of pieces of audio that I wanted to run today, particularly one in from Keith Olbermann that I was turned on to this afternoon from last night. And I just want to play this. I'm going to play this verbatim, and maybe we'll talk about it after it's done. If you want to get in on the show today, you know the number, 1-877-443-2366.
And lastly tonight, a special comment on why we are here. Half a lifetime ago, I worked in that now empty space behind me. And for 40 days after the attacks, I worked here again, trying to make sense of what happened and was yet to happen as a reporter. And all the time, I knew that the very air I breathed contained the remains of thousands of people, including 4 of my own friends, 2 in the planes, and as I discovered from those missing posters, seared still into my soul, 2 more in the towers. And I knew as well that this was the pyre for hundreds of New York policemen and firemen, of whom my family can claim half a dozen or more as our ancestors. I belabor this to emphasize that for me this was and is and always shall be personal. and anyone who claims that I and others like me are soft or have forgotten the lessons of what happened here is at best a grasping, opportunistic dilettante, and at worst an idiot, whether he is a commentator or a vice president or a president. However, of all the things those of us who were here 5 years ago could have forecast, of all the nightmares that unfolded before our eyes and the others that unfolded only in our minds, none of us could have predicted this. 5 years later, this space is still empty. 5 years later, there is no memorial to the dead. 5 years later, there is no building rising to show with proud defiance that we would not have our America wrung from us by cowards and criminals. 5 years later, this country's wound is still open. 5 years later, this country's mass grave is still unmarked. 5 years later, this is still just a background for a photo op. It is beyond shameful. At the dedication of the Gettysburg Memorial, barely 4 months after the last soldier staggered from another Pennsylvania field, Mr. Lincoln said, "We cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men living and dead who struggled here have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract." Lincoln used those words to immortalize their sacrifice. Today, our leaders could use those same words to rationalize their own reprehensible inaction. We cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground, so we won't. Instead, they bicker and buck pass. They thwart private efforts and jostle to claim credit for initiatives that go nowhere. They spend the money on irrelevant wars and elaborate self-congratulations and buying off columnists to write how good a job they're doing instead of doing any job at all. 5 years later, Mr. Bush, we are still fighting the terrorists on these streets, and look carefully, sir, on these 16 empty acres, the terrorists are clearly still winning. And in a crime against every victim here and every patriotic sentiment you mouthed but did not enact, you have done nothing about it. And there is something worse still than this vast gaping hole in this city and in the fabric of our nation. There is its symbolism of the promise unfulfilled, the urgent oath reduced to lazy execution. The only positive on 9/11 and the days and weeks that so slowly and painfully followed it was the unanimous humanity here and throughout the country. The government, the president in particular, was given every possible measure of support. Those who did not belong to his party tabled that. Those who doubted the mechanics of his election ignored that. Those who wondered of his qualifications forgot that. History teaches us that nearly unanimous support of a government cannot be taken away from that government by its critics. It can only be squandered by those who use it not to heal a nation's wounds, but to take political advantage. Terrorists did not come and steal our newly regained sense of being American first and political 50th, nor did the Democrats, nor did the media, nor did the people. The president and those around him did that. They promised bipartisanship and then showed that to them bipartisanship meant that their party would rule and the rest would have to follow or be branded with ever-escalating hysteria as morally or intellectually confused, as appeasers, as those who, in the vice president's words yesterday, validate the strategy of the terrorists. They promised protection and then showed that to them protection meant going to war against a despot whose hand they had once shaken, a despot who we now learn from our own Senate Intelligence Committee hated al-Qaeda as much as we did. The polite phrase for how so many of us were duped into supporting a war on the false premise that it had something to do with 9/11 is lying by implication. The impolite phrase is impeachable offense. Not once in now 5 years has this president ever offered to assume responsibility for the failures that led to this empty space and to this the current and curdled version of our beloved country. Still, there is a snapping flame from a final candle of respect and fairness. Even his most virulent critics have never suggested that he alone bears the full brunt of the blame for 9/11. Half the time, in fact, this president has been so gently treated that he has seemed not even to be the man most responsible for anything in his own administration. Yet what is happening this very night? A miniseries created, influenced, possibly financed by the most radical and cold of domestic political Machiavellis continues to be televised into our homes. The documented truths of the last 15 years are replaced by bald-faced lies. The talking points of the current regime parroted the whole sorry story blurred by spin to make the party out of office seem vacillating and impotent and the party in office seem like the only option. How dare you, Mr. President, after taking cynical advantage of the unanimity and love and transmuting both into fraudulent war and needless death, after monstrously transforming it into fear and suspicion and turning that fear into the campaign slogan of three elections, how dare you or those around you ever spin 9/11? Just as the terrorists have succeeded, are still succeeding as long as there is no memorial and no construction here at Ground Zero, so too have they succeeded and are still succeeding as long as this government uses 9/11 as a wedge to pit Americans against Americans. This is an odd point to cite a television program, especially one from March of 1960. But as Disney's continuing sellout of the truth and of this country suggests, even television programs can be powerful things. And long ago, a series called The Twilight Zone broadcast a riveting episode entitled The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street. In brief, a meteor sparks rumors of an invasion by extraterrestrials disguised as humans. The electricity goes out. A neighbor pleads for calm. Suddenly, his car and only his car starts. Someone suggests he must be the alien. Then another man's lights go on. As charges and suspicion and panic overtake the street, guns are inevitably produced. An alien is shot. But then he turns out to be just another neighbor returning from having gone for help. The camera pulls back to a nearby hill, where two extraterrestrials are seen, finally, manipulating a small device that can jam electricity. The veteran tells his novice that there is no need to actually attack, that you just turn off a few of the human machines, and then they pick the most dangerous enemy they can find, and it is themselves. And then in perhaps his finest piece of writing, Rod Serling sums it up with words of remarkable prescience, given where we find ourselves tonight. The tools of conquest, he said, do not necessarily come with bombs and explosions and fallout. There are weapons that are simply thoughts, attitudes, prejudices, to be found only in the minds of men. For the record, he said, prejudices can kill and suspicion can destroy, and a thoughtless, frightened search for a scapegoat has a fallout all its own for the children and the children yet unborn. When those who dissent are told time and time again, as we will be, if not tonight by the president, then tomorrow by his portable public chorus, that he is preserving our freedom, but that if we use any of that freedom, we are somehow un-American. When we are scolded, that if we merely question, we have forgotten the lessons of 9/11. Look into this empty space behind me and the bipartisanship upon which this administration also did not build. And tell me this. Who has left this hole in the ground? We have not forgotten, Mr. President. You have. May this country forgive you. Our coverage of the president's address is next. From Ground Zero, I'm Keith Olbermann. Good night and good luck.
This is the Bruce Birch Radio Program. We'll be right back after this break. Glad to have you on board with us. Keith Olbermann could not have said it any better than that. If you want to call into the show, it's 1-877-443-2366. Email me, bruce@brucebirch.com. I'll be right back.
And you might find yourself in another part of the world. And you might find yourself behind the wheel of a large automobile. And you might find yourself in a beautiful house with a beautiful wife. And you may ask yourself,
great universities never set out simply to reflect the communities in which they exist. Rather, they serve as seedbeds of change in an ever-changing world. They take pride in being places where truth is freely sought, where inquiry is encouraged, where new ideas and new ways can develop and flourish at the expense of the old. When a true academic community, instructors and students together, acts and expresses itself freely, without fear, all of society benefits. Concord University is already using this new set of challenges as opportunities to serve in ways that strengthen its dedication to community, its commitment to service. in graduate education, in professional services to working professionals, in highly respected fields of study where standards remain high, in continuing to place graduates in the very best professional and graduate schools in the nation. Concord University remains the very best higher education bargain in this region. Don't ever allow yourself to accept anything less. Concord University, still since 1872, an education you can put to work. For an appointment, call 1-800-344-6679.
Head on with Bob Kincaid.
Let's go back to the phones, and we are joined by Beauregard T. Clampett, I'm told, on line one.
Hi there, Bob!
Well, Mr. Clampett, how are you, sir?
The sponsor, you have had a ruckus on the airwaves this evening, Bob, and I just got to tell you where I fall down on this subject.
And fall down you do, I suppose.
Son, you catch on quick, I tell you. You're very quick, very quick. But I did want to just, because I kept hearing things like amnesty, and I had to tell you, Bob, if we have amnesty, we can't work them to death like we're doing. We can't pay them $3 an hour if we let them become citizens now, can we?
That whole 13th Amendment thing's still a thorn in your side, isn't it?
We won't talk about that either, Bob. Now, we're working on repealing that sucker, but it's going to take a while.
Catch Bob Kincaid weeknights, 7 to 10 p.m., right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Good man underground.
Head on.
At this moment, more than 800 million people are hungry. Millions more live in poverty. And you wonder, what can I do? Join the thousands of caring people who let Heifer International be their helping hands in the world. Right now, from Appalachia to Zimbabwe, Heifer is helping thousands of families become more self-reliant through the gifts of livestock and learning. Heifer provides farm animals that produce milk, eggs, and other products. That means milk to drink and products like cheese to sell. Having income means families can have better housing and health care, and their children can go to school. And recipients share their success, passing on the gift of their animal offspring to other families in need, ensuring dignity, self-reliance, and hope for the future. Find out how you can make a difference today at heifer.org. That's HEIFER.org.
All right, you're back on the Bruce Birch radio program, Radio for a Freer America, where you may not get smarter, but you'll know more. Keith Olbermann, man, what an amazing piece of work that was. That was probably some of the best writing and commentary that I've heard in a good long time. So I would suggest, you know, go over to MSNBC.com and find the website for Countdown if you want to. Send him an email. Let him know that you appreciate him telling truth to power like he did last night from Ground Zero there in New York, there at the World Trade Center. Or the former location anyway. But, you know, I listened to that. And I think that the biggest, the two biggest things that stuck in my mind was that, you know, the reality is, and I've said this on this show before, that if you want to talk about defeat, if you want to talk about defeat by the so-called terrorists, examples like a five-year-long bureaucratic nightmare to create a memorial to nearly 3,000 people who died there in New York is having your ass handed to you. Very, very simply, it's having your ass handed to you. Now, the other part of this, too, to remember is that while we have in this country been besieged by all kinds of terror, as you've heard me say before, the color-coded kind, the Dick Cheney kind, the George Bush kind, the Condoleezza Rice kind, the Donald Rumsfeld kind, all those different kinds of terror. The reality is that you more likely you're going to be killed in a car wreck than you would be a terrorist attack. The reality is you probably would be killed faster by slipping in your bathtub and smashing your head open on the damn faucet than you would by a terrorist attack. The reality is that you'd probably die in a plane crash because of malfunction before you would die as a result of some crazy, whacked-out guys who have decided that they're going away from here and they're going to take as many people as they can with them. So while they ratchet up the fear, look at the statistics and see how many people actually, for instance, die from cigarette smoking. Over 400,000 every year. And how many people died from the terrorist attacks here in the United States in the last 5 years? 3,000. Now, you know, they would like for you to believe that they're making you safer. We're making you dead. To see, the distinct lack of a terrorist attack is exactly what we're trying to say. Now, you know, in the first couple of years after 9/11, they didn't want to claim that because they were kind of scared that it was going to happen. And then that would blow their little phony claim out of the water. But, you know, now, Dick Cheney, especially on Sunday, they're coming right out and they're saying to you, oh, yes, it's because of our terrorist surveillance programs. That's right. The terrorist surveillance programs are catching them, their terrorists, and that's why we haven't had a terrorist attack in the United States in the last 5 years. Or is it? See, I don't want to get you scared either. I don't want you to, like, walk around in fear of dying, but you know something. The reality is that unless you stay in your house all the time, and even then the chances are that could, you know, you could have a piano fall out of the sky and crash through your living room and smash you while you're watching American Idol. It's possible. But unless you hole up in your house and do not leave your home, and that's all you ever do, the chances are that you die of some other cause is much greater than ever dying of a terrorist attack. So don't buy the fear. Don't buy it. Don't even buy it. Because if you do, you're playing into their little hand. The security moms. Well, I don't know what the new election moniker is going to be this time around at this election, but I know in years past they've always come up with something. The soccer mom, right? First was the soccer mom, and now it's the security mom. Or at least it was last election. Who knows what it'll be this time around? Because we don't want our way of life interrupted, do we? We don't want our cheap petroleum. Oh, let me just tell you, $3 a gallon is cheap. Go to Europe. Go to some other countries where, you know, where they've had to develop very small vehicles, very fuel-efficient vehicles, because gas costs so much that nobody can afford it. We have lived in the lap of luxury for a very long time without paying the price for it. The time is coming where we're going to have to, you know. I read an economic article the other day where a certain economist was estimating the deficit not at $8.3 trillion, which is where the Bush administration says it is. Actually, he placed it at $41 trillion. $41 trillion was where that was what I read in that article, and I'll see if I can find it so I can post it on my website and you can go read it yourself. It floored me. I looked at that and I thought to myself, we will be paying on this until the end of time. Well, there's no way we can pay that off. We've become a credit card culture, and you know what? That credit card culture supports the militarism that is required when you have to steal to pay your debts. What George Bush is just a larger version, a more highfalutin version, if you will, of the guy who can't pay his bills and is about to commit desperate measures to try to pay off his bills. The taps on the oil wells in Iraq are unmetered. Where is the oil going? How much is getting sucked up out of the ground? Nobody really knows. Nobody really knows. But I'll guarantee you this. Somebody's getting lined. Somebody's getting their pockets lined with the cash. Somebody's getting their pockets lined with the blood money of your sons and daughters who have gone to Iraq and been killed to support the militaristic and consumerist tendencies of this administration. After the September the 11th attacks, the first thing that George Bush said wasn't, okay, yes, we had an attack, but you have to understand the only way that terrorism is fought is using terror. So don't be scared. Have faith. We will find out who did this. We'll deal with it, blah, blah, blah. He didn't say that. What he said was, hey, we don't want you to stop buying nothing. We still want to ramp up the credit card bills, so get on out there and buy some more stuff. Well, it's damn sick is what it is. And Keith Olbermann said it very well. You can go to Raw Story, RAWStory.com, to download that clip or to watch it there in the YouTube window there on Raw Story. It's called Video Olbermann's Special Comment for the Anniversary of 9/11. It's about 30 seconds before the top of the hour. You're listening to the Bruce Birch Radio Program on the Head On Radio Network and simulcast on radiopower.org. For archives of this show, visit whiterosesociety.org. I'll be back after the news.
This is the Quality News Network. Four armed Islamic militants stormed the U.S. Embassy in Damascus today using grenades, automatic weapons, and explosives. Syrian security forces fought back to defend the U.S. facility. Three attackers were killed, one wounded. One Syrian soldier died. 11 other people were wounded. NATO Secretary General is asking the 26 member nations for 2,500 additional troops for the Afghanistan campaign. Currently, there are 18,500 coalition troops there. The most fierce fighting is located in southern Afghanistan. The UN Drug and Crime Chief is urging NATO to take military action against southern Afghanistan's opium trade. The opium harvest there is one of the highest ever seen, up 50% over last year. In Lebanon, the environment minister estimates it will take a decade to clean up the oil spill destroying the country's coastline if 1,000 people work on it continuously. Only 40 volunteers now are mopping up the oil which gushed into waters following an Israeli bombing raid of a chemical plant. A federal study concludes that despite the fact that many Gulf War veterans suffer from what seems to be the same sort of medical problems, there is no such thing as Gulf War syndrome. Vets have blamed commonly used U.S. ammunition comprising depleted uranium for the syndrome. Nine states are holding primaries today in Rhode Island. Lincoln Chafee, the only Republican senator to vote against the Iraq War, is facing a tough challenge for renomination. Other states voting today include Arizona, Delaware, Maryland, Minnesota, New Hampshire, New York, Vermont, and Wisconsin. The U.N.'s humanitarian aid chief said today Sudan's Darfur is in a free fall, spinning into chaos. Tens of thousands have been killed, millions displaced in the past 3 years of war. The Sudanese government has refused to allow international peacekeepers into the country. In the Kurdish territory of southern Turkey, at least 8 people have been killed, 14 wounded by a bomb blast in the city park. At least 5 of the dead were children. The fashion world is registering protests against organizers of a world-famous fashion show in Spain. Models considered unhealthily skinny have been banned from the runway. Madrid organizers say young women developing eating disorders are trying to copy the looks of anorexic-looking fashion models. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used. Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
The U.S. trade deficit hit a record $68 billion in July, largely due to higher oil prices. BP said today will ask the U.S. Transportation Department for approval to reopen part of its Alaska pipeline. The line must pass safety tests first. Canon is recalling 1.8 million personnel copiers because of a risk some may catch fire. The company is offering a free inspection and replacement part. The computers at risk include 11 models manufactured between 1987 and 1997 and sold worldwide. Chicago's mayor vetoed a measure that would have required the city's big box stores to pay its hourly workers at least $10 an hour plus $3 in fringe benefits, such as health care, by the year 2010. California's governor today signed a bill raising the state's minimum wage to $8 an hour, the highest in the nation. The bill goes into effect January 1st. Light sweet crude ended the trading day at $63.85 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Gold topped out at $596.10 an ounce. At the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones was up 101 points at 11,498. The NASDAQ was up 43 at 2215. S&P 500 up 14 at 1313. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund. It's 5 minutes past the hour.
It's time for another hour of conversation radio on the Head On Radio Network. Where the callers are the experts. You're back with the Bruce Birch Radio Program. With your host, Bruce.
All right, you're back on the Bruce Birch Radio Program. It's about 6 minutes past the hour here in the eastern United States. And probably 6 minutes past the hour most everywhere else in the world as well. I've got a couple now. Yeah, if you want to get in on the show today, as our good friend John Fox just mentioned, you can dial into 1-877-443-2366. That gets you into the studios there at the Head On Radio Network. Before I go over to any calls, I do have an email that I wanted to read to you. I had a conversation yesterday with our good friend David from Maine, and David talked about the Path to 9/11 show, and also more specifically, he talked a little bit about Donnie Wahlberg. And I got an email here from Timber in Durham, North Carolina, which is just down the road a piece. That's about 50 miles away, 40 miles away, something like that, from where I'm sitting right now. He writes, since I am a heterosexual male and was listening to... Okay, now, I don't know that that has anything to do with this, but anyway, this is what Timber writes. I'm just going to read it to you verbatim. Since I am a heterosexual male and was listening to punk and metal and rockabilly at the time anyway, I hated New Kids on the Block, but Donnie Wahlberg has turned out to be a good dramatic actor. I'd invite you and David to check him out in Band of Brothers for proof. He continues, I didn't watch the 9/11 thing on ABC because I neither wanted to waste my time with anti-Clinton propaganda or feel like I had to defend an indefensible person like Bill Clinton. So I can't comment on Wahlberg's performance there, but it just seems like if David from Maine's estimation of him is based solely on memories of New Kids. It may be more of a comment on David from Maine than on Donnie Wahlberg. Ooh. Peace. Timber in Durham, North Carolina. Thanks, Timber, for the email. I watched Band of Brothers, and I had no idea. Now, see, let me just tell you how out of touch I was related to the New Kids on the Block. I know this is, like, totally irrelevant, but maybe not. I didn't listen to hip-hop, and I didn't listen to any of the new stuff that was going on back then. I was more, well, you hear the bumper tunes on this radio program. That's a pretty good smattering of the kind of music that I like to listen to, okay? Now, so I never did listen to the New Kids on the Block and didn't know who Donnie Wahlberg was, and actually I've watched the Band of Brothers, the HBO mini, or I guess it was a series for a while, that was put together, and it was an amazing depiction of a troupe, of a company, that was followed from, I guess, the invasion on the shores of Normandy all the way to the surrender of Germany, and very well put together. And I couldn't tell you who Donnie Wahlberg is. So, based on that alone, I would say he was a good actor. I don't know. I'm sure we're going to hear from David now, though. I would almost guarantee you that might happen. All right, let's get over to some of the other stuff. Just to finish up the wrap-up, the path to 9/11 stuff, there is an excellent article on commondreams.org that was published today and actually was published today in The Nation magazine, and I'm sure you can go to nation.org, I think it is. Thenation.com, and you can find it there. But Max Blumenthal has an interesting article there that digs into the history and the roots, if you will, of the right-wing propagandists that put the 9/11 mockudrama together. And actually, it goes all the way, apparently, as I read through this today, it goes all the way back to none other than Richard Mellencamp. So, if that gives you an idea, if you were trying to give them the benefit of the doubt and saying, well, they were putting together something that seemed to be fairly equal, equally condemning on both sides, it was put together very, very much by right-wingers. Specifically to try to pull, and I, you know, based on everything that I read, and the little bit that I watched of it on Sunday evening, it was very much about condemning Clinton, and which obviously was a mistruth in the middle of all that. Also, we have in the news today. Apparently, Dick Cheney, good old lovable Dick, is going to be attending a fundraiser for a Representative Randy Cole, New York, in late September. The Vice President and Cole have earned a measure of infamy for incidents involving firearms. Of course, we all know that Cheney accidentally shot his hunting partner, Harry Whittington, in the face. And according to divorce records obtained by none other than Raw Story, Cole once bullied his wife with shotguns. Oh, yes. Those right-wingers are very lovable guys, aren't they? The San Francisco Chronicle noted in a 2004 article that Cole had past run-ins with the law, including an arrest in 1997 for drunken driving. His license was suspended for 6 months. His wife, Cole Peterson, filed for divorce in late 1998, charging that Cole had endangered her mental and physical well-being and rendered it unsafe and improper for the parties to continue to reside together. After Cole was arrested in 1997 for drunken driving, he refused his wife's requests to attend counseling to deal with his excessive consumption of alcoholic beverages. And oh, don't we know, guns and beer go so well together. he launched his congressional campaign bid by publicly discussing the arrest. Guns. These guys. Cole's ex-wife has also described him as an abusive drunk who, quote, hustled women, end quote. Cheney, the man who may have always been remembered for accidentally shooting his good friend on a hunting trip, has agreed to do a private photo op at a September 22nd fundraiser for Cole in Rochester, New York. And yes, you guessed it, Cole is considered vulnerable this year. Well, he ought to be. I mean, what kind of... ugh. Threatening his wife with guns while he's drunk? And this is a guy who's in Congress, okay? All right, there you go. Another one of the idiots in charge. Another one of the idiots in charge. Now, apparently also, following along that line of reasoning and the good taste of the brand, the greedy oil party, Playboy magazine apparently recently commissioned a poll to address what it called a common misconception that the majority of its readers are liberal Democrats. Playboy surveyed 1,000 people. Half were drawn from a nationally representative sample of adults age 21 and older, and the other half came from its subscriber rolls. 79% of those surveyed voted in the 2004 presidential election, which is 15 percentage points higher than the national average. 36% of its readers are Republicans, compared to 25% Democrat. What does that mean? Well, really nothing at all. I just figured I'd share it with you. If you listen to the Bruce Birch radio program, if you want to get in on the show, you can dial 1-877-443-2366. You can also email me, bruce@brucebirch.com, and I also have a blog site over at brucebirch.com. You can go there and check out the archives, podcasting, etc. I'll be right back after this break.
Everywhere is freaks and Harris, Dykes and Ferris. Tell me where is sanity.
James Means, straight talk, and great guests like author and reporter Greg Palast.
Do we have Greg on the phone?
Yes, we do.
All right, very good, Greg.
Greg talked about his new book, Armed Madhouse.
You'll see in the second chapter of the book about Big Oil that I was able to get the inside documents from inside the State Department for the plans for the oil fields of Iraq, which is, you know, what it, you know, it's about the oil. And you actually, you know, if you thought they had a secret plan, I go and get it.
Greg Palast, thank you so much.
Don't miss Guy James weekday afternoons, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Some dreams are universal. Dreams that inspire us. Multiple sclerosis is a devastating disease that changes lives forever. The National MS Society does more for people with MS than any organization in the world. But we can't do it alone. To get involved, visit us online at nationalmssociety.org. or call 1-800-FIGHT-MS. This is why we're here. because nobody dreams of having multiple sclerosis.
Hi. LOL. Well, AISI, it was NBD.
Kids are spending more and more time online, and even if you heard what they're typing, you probably wouldn't know what they're saying.
Some PPL, whatever. ISS.
They chat online in a language full of acronyms, and unless you use it every day, you won't understand it.
YIWGP.
You won't know what they're saying, or who they're saying it to. A lot of times, neither do they. Last year, 1 in 5 children was sexually solicited online. So here's an acronym for you. HDOP. Help Delete Online Predators. To protect your kids' online life and to get a full list of acronyms kids are using, call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
Conventions, talking of your crusade, talking of your nation, and other things too terrible to mention. And you proclaim your Christianity, you proclaim your love of God, you talk of apple pie and mine. I just got one question, and I want an answer. Tell me, who would Jesus bomb? May Jesus would bomb the Syrians, because they're not.
All right, it's about 20 minutes past the hour. You're back on the Bruce Birch radio program. And, you know, I had a person yesterday in our chat room ask me a question about whether or not it was true that Saddam Hussein paid suicide bombers $25,000 to do their thing. I went back and I did some searching, and the first one that I found was a Fox News story, which whereupon I immediately ignored and kept scanning. And what I found, actually, was that according to the BBC News, March the 13th, 2003, that Saddam actually did pay out $25,000 per family of a suicide bomber and $10,000 for those who were killed in during Israeli military operations, to the family of those to the families of those who were killed. And apparently they have estimated that Iraq paid out $35 million to Palestinian families since the current uprising began in September 2000. Of course, this is 3 years old, of course. But at any rate, yeah, there's some truth to that. I didn't want to believe it because, you know, of all the rumors, but apparently this is one of those that actually has turned out to be verifiable. Now, moving right back into the swing of things, I've got an interesting little clip for you here. It's kind of stupid. But, you know, hey, stupid is as stupid does, and Denny Hastert, who is really just a complete moron, the sweaty wrestler, as Bob Kincaid likes to call him there. Now, this is apparently Denny Hastert and some other high-level politicos singing God Bless America, I believe it is. But this is just bad. But you got to hear it. You got to hear it. We need a little humor this afternoon, so here you go.
We'll be accompanied by the United States Marine Corps Band. Stop!
Can you believe it? I couldn't do it anymore. I just couldn't do it anymore. Oh, my God, that was bad. Oh, the rabbis washed. You know, I'm just thinking. Here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking he had a little bit of a, he had a flask in his pocket. He's like, all right, if I'm going to go out here and sing, I'm going to take a belt or two. And then I'm going to go out here and sing a song for the people. That's what I'm going to do. I'm Denny Astor, and I approve this message. Oh, crazy. Yes, that was the 8th grade assembly. that actually was all the Republicans. You know, it was Denny Hastert and who else was standing up? Bill Frist. I mean, all these guys, you know, and they had to, this was in the 9/11 remembrance ceremony, and I'm thinking to myself, if I passed away on 9/11, this is not the way I would want to be memorialized. God, Denny Hastert. Okay. Now, moving back into some more serious things. Well, you know, it's just, it is what it is. Oh, my goodness. It looks like that there's a new Move On television ad that's coming out against the Bushes. The political action organization MoveOn.org has announced the placement of a new television advertisement which will condemn President Bush for, quote, exploiting, end quote, the 9/11 attacks to bolster the election chances for Republicans in midterm elections. Move On has spent about $100,000 for the ad buy, and the 30-second spots will begin running nationwide later this week. In a statement issued by MoveOn.org, the group said that the ad called Exploiting 9/11 will remind Americans of the now discredited claims and promises made by the president and Republican leaders in Congress about the connection between 9/11 and Saddam Hussein, the capture of Osama bin Laden and making the country safer by invading Iraq. Eli Pariser, the executive director of Move On Political Action, said in the statement, quote, it is shameful that President Bush, who falsely used 9/11 to lead us into the fiasco in Iraq, continues to exploit 9/11 to try to bolster the sagging fortunes of the Republican Party. And I'm sure they'll have that up available on their website fairly quickly. This was a breaking news story. So I just wanted to make sure that got into your hands. The VA, moving over to some more of the Republican chicanery and the attempt at trying to keep their hands washed of taking responsibility for anything. There is a VA study that is out that apparently says that the Gulf War syndrome is hokey, hokum. Apparently, the unexplained symptoms that afflict thousands of Gulf War veterans don't constitute a single illness, a federally funded study concludes. Well, there's the problem right there. It was funded by who? The Federals. Even though the U.S. and foreign veterans of the 1991 war report more symptoms of illness than do soldiers who didn't serve in the Persian Gulf, there is no such thing as Gulf War syndrome, according to the Veterans Affairs-sponsored report released Tuesday. I have been over the last year, ladies and gentlemen, reporting on all of these different studies that have come out, not only related to the VA, but to everything. All of this opposite world science that this Republican administration, see, they're undoing decades of sound scientific work. This is just another example. Right here, this is just another example of, you know, of trying to avoid paying for using things, stuff like the, depleted uranium in the 1991 conflict. Nearly 30% of all those who served in the brief war have reported problems. Dr. Lynn Goldman of Johns Hopkins University, who headed the Institute of Medicine committee that prepared the report is quoted as saying, there's no unique pattern of symptoms. Every pattern identified in Gulf War veterans also seems to exist in other veterans, though it is important to note that the symptom rate is higher and it is a serious issue, end quote. The report did not find evidence of an elevated risk of the rare nerve disease amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, also called Lou Gehrig's disease, among Gulf War veterans. They also face an increased risk of anxiety disorders, depression, and substance abuse. The VA apparently had contracted with the Institute of Medicine, part of the National Academy of Sciences, to review scientific studies and probe the issue at the direction of Congress. VA spokesman Phil Boudon said the VA would not comment until it had a chance to study the report. This is not good news. This is not good news. Opposite world science. Opposite world science. If you want to get in on the show, you can do that. You know what the deal is. You know how to do that, right? I'm thinking you do. I'm thinking you do. Yeah. That's right. It's 1-877-443-2366. You can also email me, bruce@brucebirch.com. I'm going to take a quick break. When I come back, we'll get back into some more things. Be right back.
Did you hear them talking about it on the radio? Did you try on the wall? Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also listen to over at progressive.org. Bush's 9/11 speech failed to do what he told Katie Couric is the most difficult part of his job, linking Iraq with the war on terror. Bush told the country, I'm often asked why we're in Iraq when Saddam Hussein was not responsible for the 9/11 attacks. I bet you are, George, and thanks, by the way, for finally in a major speech 5 years later, admitting the lack of connection. Bush kept on. The answer, he said, is the regime of Saddam was a clear threat. Wait a second here. Iraq wasn't a clear threat at all, much less a grave and growing threat, as Bush once put it. The threat, he told us back then, was Saddam's lethal weapons of mass destruction. But he didn't have any. So how was he a clear threat? Now, Bush says, we must stay in Iraq because otherwise the terrorists will follow us home. But Iraq is breeding terrorists against the United States and is providing them with on-the-job training with live ammunition and live targets. Bush also said if we yield Iraq to men like bin Laden, our enemies will be emboldened. But the Iraqis themselves won't allow bin Laden and al-Qaeda to prevail in Iraq. The Shiites far outnumber them, and even many Sunnis resent the suicide bombings that al-Qaeda launches there. Bush said the Iraqi people have been steadfast. He's right about that. They've steadfastly expressed their wish for the U.S. troops to leave. The last number I saw was 88% of Iraqis want the U.S. out of there. So let's go. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Listen, man, adding fractions is no big deal.
Nah?
No. You just got to find what they call the common denominator. Let me show you.
All right.
Now, see these bottom numbers?
Yeah.
These are the denominators. That one's a 4 and that one's an 8.
Mm-hmm.
You just double both of these numbers so that becomes an 8 too. Then you add them up.
Man, you sure make this easy.
Charles Bennett always dreamed that after college he'd return to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without the money for tuition, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Sure.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. Call 1-800-332-UNCF. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
You're back on the Bruce Birch radio program. That's right. It's about 35 minutes past the hour here in Truth Teller Central. I got a couple of emails over the break there that I wanted to share with you. One in particular is from a listener, and she wanted to write. She wrote to ABC, and I'll read you her letter and then her reply, and then the reply she sent back to them. This message, I'm writing about the CBS Sunday night movie, The Path to 9/11, which is being billed as a documentary, but it is chock full of half-truths and outright lies. I see it as a hatchet job on Democrats just before an election season. It is a shameful thing. A couple of years ago, a Democrat filmmaker did a movie on Ronald Reagan and his first lady, and the Republicans were complaining. It was pulled from airing. I rented the DVD, and it was a very nice film depicting the Reagans as a loving couple. It was very touching and not political at all. My point is that you listened to Republicans then, and I hope you will listen to Democrats who are complaining now. Many of those Democrats are people full of substance and public trust. I hope that KATU won't let ABC, Disney, Saudi-owned views to make at least half your viewership so upset that they will hang up on your station. CBS is in hot water over Couric. The viewers loathe her, myself included. She should stay a sweet little song and dance girl on morning TV. This is not me, folks. This is somebody else. She should stay a sweet little song and dance girl on morning TV and let the professional journalists do the news. Whether they're male or female notwithstanding, it's the credentials and the professionalism that count when dealing with the news. And so back to my point, it is the professionalism and the credibility of KATU on the line here, and I hope you will air a rerun of Grey's Anatomy instead. The reply says, Dear Ms. So-and-so, thank you for writing KATU regarding your thoughts and concerns on this week's ABC movie, The Path to 9/11. We appreciate the feedback, whether you offer praise or constructive criticism. We have been assured by the ABC television network that a disclaimer aired throughout the movie, advising viewers that the movie is a dramatization drawn from a variety of sources. The actual disclaimer read, quote, The movie is not a documentary. For dramatic and narrative purposes, the movie contains fictionalized scenes, composite and representative characters and dialogue, as well as time compression, end quote. It is not as surprising that a movie surrounding the events of 9/11 has sparked debate. As concerned broadcasters, we have carefully screened the show and have been assured that the broadcast was disclaimed as a movie. In the end, we believe it is the public's right to decide for themselves the worthiness or merit of the program. We have taken the liberty of passing your comments along to the ABC television network so that they too can be aware of your concern. Again, thank you for writing KATU, Julie M., KATU program administrator. And there's some other comments there, too, that I just, you know, I got to tell you, this whole thing has gotten a lot of people fired up. And the question that I had yesterday that I was trying to get to some people, you know, David from Maine, for instance, called up and was like, well, you're giving them, you know, just because Daily Coast and the Democratic Party, they're giving them all the publicity they need, no, they just would have blown over had they not said anything. Well, the problem with presenting a movie such as that without, you know, not staying close to the facts regarding that is that, well, once the door is opened about such a sensitive subject, then we may as well just pretty much count on whole fabricated lies and myths, truths. I mean, you'll probably see the next movie will probably be Howard Dean, Harry Reid, and who else? Nancy Pelosi in some sort of strange satanistic ceremony. You know, this is how the Democratic leadership spends their time away from Washington, D.C., sacrificing goats and the like. I wouldn't doubt it. And the reason why I wouldn't doubt it is because, you know, again, it's about opening the door. Once the door is open, then, you know, who knows what may happen. I just, you know, I think it was a huge mistake. And I think that when the time comes, I think there should be some comeuppance, if you will, for that. Now, let's head over to the international scene at this point. Let's see. Do I have any callers? See if anyone's hanging online. I'm going to take care of a couple of international stories, and then we have a special segment coming up here very shortly. Apparently, Pervez Musharraf, the Pakistani president, warned the West today that Taliban insurgents, you know, that those people that we went over to Afghanistan and pretty much bombed them back to the Stone Age and killed a bunch of them and rounded a bunch of them up. Well, guess what? According to Pervez Musharraf, he is saying today that Taliban insurgents are a more dangerous terrorist force than Al-Qaeda because of the broad support they have in Afghanistan. 5 years after the 9/11 attacks on the United States, masterminded by Al-Qaeda, and the subsequent U.S. invasion of Afghanistan to topple the Taliban, Musharraf said Taliban fighters have regrouped in southern Afghanistan. Now, I have talked about this periodically on this radio program. For instance, the Taliban, who were vehemently anti-opium poppy production, changed their ideas about that and saw that opium poppy production was one of the better ways to secure their financial future. So, and guess what is on a 400% increase of growth in Afghanistan right now? You guessed it. It ain't hamburgers, folks. It's opium poppies. This year marks the biggest harvest of opium poppies ever in Afghanistan. He told EU lawmakers, European Union lawmakers, who quizzed him on Pakistan's counterterrorism efforts, that, quote, the center of gravity of terrorism has shifted from Al-Qaeda to the Taliban. This is a new element, a more dangerous element, because it has its roots in the people. Al-Qaeda did not have its roots in the people, according to Musharraf. He said he was certain that the Taliban fighters were being commanded by former Taliban ruler Mullah Omar from a base in southern Afghanistan where NATO troops are struggling to contain an insurgency. The red-headed stepchild of Afghanistan, ladies and gentlemen, the red-headed stepchild of Afghanistan, it remains as such. I'm reading this and I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, we left there to do what? Oh, that's right, to go take over a country that apparently posed no threat to us. Even today he's defending that, though. And one more international story before we go to our break and hit our special segment that I've got coming up at the end of the show. It's a bit of a surprise, but before embarking on a trip that includes the United States, Bolivia's leftist leader, Evo Morales, said on Monday he would like to meet President George W. Bush to tell him, quote, some truths about human rights. Apparently, Morales, a close ally of Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez, is scheduled to visit with former U.S. Presidents Bill Clinton and Jimmy Carter next week. But he will not hold talks with Bush because, as he told reporters, the U.S. leader has not asked him to do so. And I quote him, quote, if he asks me, I would like to meet up to tell him some truths about human rights, about social and economic problems, and I would like to tell him that aggressions feed rebellion and share with him some experiences, Morales said. A former coca leaf grower who became Bolivia's first indigenous president, Morales has had a tense relationship with Washington. He has dismissed U.S. criticism of the cocaine trade in Bolivia and slammed U.S.-backed coca eradication plans, which he thinks dig Bolivians deeper into poverty. Of course it does. And as a side note, Evo Morales recently named, I think, as his Secretary of State, a former maid, and also his ambassador to the United States is a former journalist from Bolivia. He's trying to spread the power structure around, and it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Okay. Now, let's go ahead and take a quick break, and when we come back, we should be in our special last segment of the radio program. If you want to get in on the show today, I don't know if that's going to happen, but if you want to get up with me, send me an email, bruce@brucebirch.com. I'd also love to hear from you. Go check out my blog site, brucebirch.com. I'll be right back.
You messing with my life, so I bought my lid. Even messing with my children, and you're screaming at my wife. Get off of my bed if you wanna get out of here alive. Freedom, that's what I want now. Freedom, that's what I need now.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black. And if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
You're back on the Bruce Birch Radio Program, radio for a new America, free America, a smarter and more stable America. We've been talking about a lot of different things this afternoon, and not the least of which is the reality of what happened yesterday and where we are with that in our thinking. You know, and what has been going on. I can't get the words out this afternoon. Another interesting little story is that apparently today there was a foiled attack on the U.S. embassy in Syria. There was a homemade bomb that apparently was made out of gas cans and some other things that did not go off. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing that it didn't go off. I will say this, though, is that it is, you know, what we've seen around the world is that terrorist attacks have grown tenfold since 9/11, since we invaded Iraq. And, you know, and it's not going to go down. It's not going to go down as long as we continue to have a foreign policy that creates this kind of issue around the world. Now, you know, the bottom line is that this goes all the way to the top. And it goes, in my view, it goes all the way to the disregard that this president has for, you know, the very founding principles of this nation. And on the line with me, I have our good friend Bob Kincaid, who is going to tell us about an event that's coming up right after this radio program is over with tonight. Bob, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Bruce. How are you this evening?
I'm doing all right. Doing okay. Tell me about where you're at and what's going on there.
Well, I'm not sure if you can hear the background noise, but this is a very, very full room. This is a very excited group this evening. I'm on the campus of West Virginia State University in Institute, West Virginia, just west of the state capital, Charleston, and a forum has been convened here this evening. What we'll be doing is, instead of going to the 7 o'clock news or the 8 o'clock news, Eastern time, of course, we will shoot right through both of those. This is a forum that is slated to go 2 solid hours, and after that, I hope we'll have some further conversation. The name of the forum is The People, the Constitution, and the Bush Administration. And we have experts on a number of issues in that regard here tonight who will deliver expert opinion in regard to where this country stands at present. And so I hope everybody will stick around to hear this. This will also be, of course, available as an archive at headonradionetwork.com, whiteRoseSociety.org. I think everyone's going to find this to be very, very educational, very entertaining, and very enlightening.
Well, it certainly sounds like it, Bob. Now, who are the panelists that are going to be there?
Well, this is sort of a who's who heavy hitters list. We have Robert Bastrus. He is the constitutional scholar in the state of West Virginia. He's a professor at the West Virginia University College of Law. Chuck Smith is the chair of the West Virginia State University Political Science Department. Denise Giardina is an author. And a brilliant author at that. Anyone who is looking to be moved needs to read her novel, Storming Heaven. But she's going to address freedom of expression in the Bush administration. And then Bill Goodman is with the Center for Constitutional Rights in New York City. So there's going to be a wide range of expertise here, everything from government secrecy to so-called faith-based initiatives and separation of church and state, freedom of expression in the Bush administration, and the worst excesses of the Bush administration after 9/11. I have a feeling this is putting on constitutional armor in a way. There's going to be a lot of people coming away knowing more than they knew when they came here tonight.
I wish I were there, Bob. That sounds just wonderful. That sounds wonderful.
I wish you were too.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, Bob. Before we get too far, how many people are how many people are there tonight for this?
The crowd is still coming in, and I'd say there's let's see, 1, 2. You know how it is with me and math. There's a good 50 people.
Okay.
And that's a great turnout on a Tuesday night in the Kanawha Valley.
Sure.
Very, Absolutely. Very committed people. The group that is putting this on is called Seneca 2, and they use as their model the women who convened at Seneca Falls in 1848, and they are dedicated to the belief that it is their sacred patriotic duty to demand that our government be accountable to the people. So,
that's just excellent that we have this is just amazing. I mean, we need more of these constitutional, you know, ask them, Bob, if they'll take it on a road show.
I think they probably would if it was at all humanly possible. As it stands, though, this is seed planting, if you know what I mean. This is encouraging. This means that the silence is perhaps over.
That is a good thing too. Now, are you going to be on later after the show, after that that panel is over with?
Well, if everything goes to 9 o'clock as it is scheduled to do, we will use the final hour of the program. God, critters, and various and sundry invisible things willing to follow up on some of the topics that were raised this evening.
That'll be fantastic.
And maybe even take some calls here if I can get them. You know, if folks are willing to cooperate.
Well, that'll be fun. That'll be fun. I look forward to hearing it, Bob, and I do appreciate you checking in, letting us know what's going on. Anything else you need to tell us for now?
No. Just sit back, relax. Close. You do what you got to do to close your program out. I certainly do wish I could be in chat this evening. I would like to apologize to our listeners for not being there, but being a public institution, apparently they have an almost phobic allergy to being able to access a chat room.
Right.
So I'm all firewalled up here, and at least we got through on the bond.
Fantastic. All right, Bob. Well, look forward to seeing you a little bit later on this evening and hearing from you and hearing this wonderful panel. Sounds like a really good thing, and I thank you for going out there and doing that.
Oh, my pleasure. And I'll stay connected here, and as soon as you're out, I'll point my finger at somebody, and we'll get started.
Okay, great. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you very much, Bruce, for allowing me to impede upon the last few minutes of your program this evening.
No worries.
All right. Later.
All right. Thanks. And that's our good friend and the guy who follows me in the lineup here on the Head On Radio Network, Bob Kincaid, who is on remote at a constitutional panel where they're going to take a look at some of the abuses and the constitutional issues with the Bush administration. Glad that he's out there doing that. We need to get more truth. Because I believe that knowledge is power. Knowledge, you have to be armed with knowledge. If you're not armed with knowledge, these guys will run roughshod right over you. It's about 3 minutes to the top of the hour. I'd like to thank our good friend Zach Rebich for producing the radio program. I also want to thank Lorelei for answering the telephone calls, and Agnes Kincaid for being the backup production there at the Head On Radio Network studios in wild, wonderful West Virginia. Also want to thank John Fox for being the announcer of this radio program and the chief engineer of the Head On Radio Network. Peter Godbold of Godbold Computer Services for being our IT professional and for keeping the bits and bytes crunching there at the Head On Radio Network studios in wild, wonderful West Virginia. I also want to thank Gene, our head-on headlines news ninja, hi-ya! For being the guy who keeps the blog and keeping going there at the headonradionetwork.com website. I also would like to, let's see, who else? I want to thank Bruce Birch. That's me. Ben Birch of the White Rose Society for archiving this radio program and for managing the streams of the Head On Radio Network. Shelby LaPre at radiopower.org. for all that she does and for simulcasting this show, as well as Guy James and Bob Kincaid off of the Head On Radio Network. Thank you very much, Shelby, for all you do. Also want to thank the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream, and by sponsoring the programming on the Head On Radio Network, they're helping us to reclaim it away from those thugs that are trying to steal it away from us. And last but not least, listeners, thank you for joining me for another afternoon of Conversation Radio here on the Head On Radio Network. And remember, it's your democracy too, and it's not a spectator sport. So go out and make a difference. This has been Bruce Birch for the Head On Radio Network.
That's how it felt to be alive. After the revolution, from Groton to Tacoma, on many a factory floor, the workers talked of solidarity and refused to build weapons of war. No more will we make missiles.
This is the Quality News Network. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice thanked the Syrian government for thwarting an attempted attack on the U.S. Embassy in Damascus today. Syrian security forces killed 3 of 4 armed Islamic militants, as well as a Syrian anti-terrorist. 9 states are holding primaries today. One of the most closely watched is Rhode Island, where Lincoln Chafee, the only Republican senator to vote against the Iraq War, faces a tough challenge for renomination. Across Iraq today, 24 people were killed in scattered violence, including bombings and gunfire. Meanwhile, officials debated a bill that would set a timetable for the withdrawal of foreign troops. That proposal was shelved for further review. Debate was also put off for another proposal that would work toward establishing autonomous regions in the country. In Iran, visiting Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki asked Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad to help stem the flow of al-Qaeda militants into Iraq. In other negotiations, Ahmadinejad offered to help Iraq improve its security and stability. The two men meet again tomorrow. In southern Afghanistan, NATO forces have taken back territory from Taliban insurgents. Hundreds of suspected militants were killed in the 11-day operation. In the northern part of the country, coalition troops killed a militant leader and wounded several others after coming under attack. NATO Secretary General is asking the 26 member nations to send 2,500 more troops. In Lebanon, the environment minister estimates it will take a decade to clean up the oil spill, destroying the country's coastline, if 1,000 people work in it continuously. Only 40 volunteers are mopping up the oil, which gushed into waters following an Israeli bombing.